Marty, well, thank you very much, and agree with what has been said in wishing everyone a happy Mother's Day. I'm grateful so much to God for the mother he gave me, who's with the Lord now, and the wonderful mother-in-law that God gave me, who's with the Lord now. And also praise God for the mother my wife has been to our boys. And I send out this email, maybe if you're on that, if in any reason there can be sometimes difficulty in relationship with a mother. You know, there's no perfect parent. And look to the Lord, who is the one perfect parent, and trust him to put his healing touch upon any hurt, as opposed to choosing to be bitter the rest of your life. So we all need that. We've all been raised by imperfect parents. We will be imperfect parents. We are imperfect parents. But there is a wonderful Christ, and that is perfect in every way. And I don't know there's many imperfect people here in a sense of the way by the world standards here. But none of us, we all fall short. We need a Savior, and that's what we celebrate. And this wonderful gospel that does liberate us, as we're here in these first 17 verses, it's just the introduction to the theme of this great book. And we talked about how it liberates us to a life of love last week when we were together, how he longed to see this church, and how he prayed for them, and how he wanted to use his spiritual gift, and how he expected God to bear fruit. But yet he always saw ministry never as just a one-way street, but a two-way street. He knew he would be receiving as well as giving. Because when you see a person looking to God, that's a great, great encouragement. That's a great encouragement. And we need that encouragement. And thank you. And just as dear Mike was looking to the Lord in regard to the difficult situation, that encourages us. And we want to help each other and strengthen each other, look to the Lord. We talked about these three I Am's that was read and how God wants to inculcate that in our heart. You know, when you read these passages and you seek to understand them, you only learn them by, okay, am I adopting these attitudes in my life, these three I Am's? I'm under obligation. God has given you a cure for an epidemic disease that everybody has a problem with, and yet he's given you the cure. He's entrusted that gospel message. And we talked about last week how do you develop an eagerness toward the obligation God's given us? And you develop that eagerness as you look to God. You say, what? You know, God, you don't put any obligation upon me that you won't give me the grace, meaning the motivation and power to do. And as you listen to him, exactly how he wants you personally to live out that obligation, he'll guide you. He's your shepherd. And as you understand that message, you're not ashamed of it. It's the way that you can wake up every day with an imperfect record and knowing that you have peace with God, the one who knows everything about you, that you have peace with him. That's a glorious thing, is it not? Peace with him. That he looks upon you as righteous, as if you perfectly kept God's law. Now, all of us will strive in some way and cope to try to, because we yearn for that. We want to be accepted. We want to be, but when we see, you know what, I need to receive that as a gift that God wants to give me. That's the glorious gospel message. Now, a person who enhances that will live also with a life of purpose. As you read these verses, you see a person living with a life of purpose. And what I think the key of this, in embracing those I Am's and living with this life of purpose, is bound up in these few little words you'll see in Romans chapter 5, the last four words of Romans 1:5, where he says, we've received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles. And that little phrase, for his namesake, for his namesake, for his namesake. Now, I pray that you just, like me, will trust God to speak to you here. And this is something that literally will change your life. You see, one of the reasons that Jesus, I'm going to bring you through a few scriptures that will just help illuminate this idea of for his namesake. And we're going to start out in 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. See, one of the reasons that Jesus died for us is spelled out here in 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. And notice how he says it here, 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Now you celebrate this when you take of the table this morning. And verse 15, he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. Now, if you're in any way in touch with your heart, you know this, that living for yourself runs so deep. You don't have to be taught to live for yourself. Basically, from birth, it's like what? Life revolves around me. My life, my needs. And then as you grow older, my concerns, my ambitions, my family. That's what we are. And there's no other way to escape that apart from the liberation of Jesus. The liberation of Jesus. That life really around me is a life of death. It comes very natural, but there is another life. There's a better life, and it's Jesus who has liberated us from that. So now a person who's been liberated from that will go through life and have all the same needs that anybody else will. But they approach those needs in a different motivation and, as a result, a different level of trust. Let me just say that this passage, your heart may not even have to turn to it, but all of our life, we will need guidance. We will need somebody to direct us and the decisions to make and what's the right thing to do. You'll never escape that. You'll need that until death. And that's why God gives you that promise. I will guide you until death. Psalm 48:14. I love that verse. I'll need a shepherd till I die. But unquestionably, I think the most comforting verse on guidance is in the familiar Psalm 23, and it's verse 3 that says, he guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. For his name's sake. See, living for his name, okay? So, Lord, I need guidance, which we do. And you petition God for guidance, and in his great mercy and his great love, he wants to give it to you. Because I remind you of that verse that Jeremiah penned. He says, what? It does not lie within man to direct his path. You realize, I'm not smart enough to direct my path. I need God to rule and overrule. Sometimes I just say, I know this is the right thing, but even let God assure you of that. Sometimes there's a way that seems right to a man, but his end is death. So through presumption comes nothing but strife. So you need a shepherd. But as you appeal to God to guide you, I find that sometimes when it's been hard to trust God for certain things, backing up and saying, okay, God, this was this morning as I was praying over this, Lord, it's ultimately your glory at stake. It's not me. If me ending up in the right place, it's your glory. When the sheep ends up in the right place, they don't say, what a brilliant sheep, he figured this out. It's what a merciful shepherd. What a merciful shepherd. And so, what a merciful shepherd. The sheep gets stuck in the mud, and he needs a shepherd to usually get him out of that. And yes, when you need guidance, it's an opportunity to live for his name's sake, for his name's sake. And you need guidance personally. You need guidance if you're in regard to family relational decisions, in regard to planning ahead for certain things. We all need it. And that's the way, but for his name's sake. Turn over just two chapters, Psalm 25. Verse 11, here he's petitioning God for forgiveness. He says, for your name's sake, O Lord, Psalm 25:11, pardon my iniquity, for it's great. Now you come to God and you need cleansing. Of course, we come to God for the cleansing of salvation. And I never presume. I know what it was like to be raised in a church and really not have that assurance. And so for any reason you don't have that assurance, it can be assurance that you can have today. God wants to give that to you. For his name's sake, he shed his blood, paid the price in full to give you that cleansing. But also part of the provision of that cleansing, as we've said before, and developed is that he made a provision not only to be forgiven and to wake up every day and know that I'm clean, and even though my record is not perfect, he imputes to me his record of perfect righteousness, but also he has provided a way that you and I can walk with God. If you didn't have a good morning coming to church, you know, you can still worship God. Would you? Scripture tells us that we can what? Walk in the light. Are you open, honest, transparent before God at this moment? Is there anything covered in your life? I'll give you a promise if it is. You may not want to claim it, but it's yours if you claim it or not. He who covers his sin shall not prosper, but he who confesses it and forsakes it shall obtain compassion. Confess and forsake. That's my prayer for you each day. That God would, and prayer for me too, that God would what? We would confess and forsake any known sin. We would confess and forsake any doubtful habit. Because, you know, there's cleansing. I love the blood of Jesus far more today than when I was first saved. I know far more today the depth of sin God has saved me from. And see, there's only one way and one able that we're able to walk with God. It's because what God has provided, continual cleansing by the blood of Jesus. And so you petition God, don't rob God of his glory by allowing you to enjoy that. Don't rob God of his glory by trying to earn that. Don't rob God of his glory by seeking to do penance and to say, boy, I don't deserve to feel good. No, you know, I don't deserve anything but God's judgment. But God wants me to humble myself and allow him to be gracious to me. So for your name's sake, he wants to, you know, I love this verse. It talks in about living for his name's sake. See, God is a good God. He wants to glorify his name, not at your expense, but at your benefit. Isn't that wonderful? See, sometimes we think of a person, let's think of a guy who's not a great boss or a lady who's not a good boss, and they want to glorify themselves, but what? They want to use the people under them to make them look good. And these people work like slaves to make them look good, and he doesn't give them any of the credit. And that doesn't fit over too good, does it? You don't really adore yourself. You don't like that kind of boss. But see, God, no, his glory is so different, is it not? He cares about his people. He came as a baby and born in a humble manger and shed his blood for his enemies. His glory is different, is it not? His glory is different. And so living for his glory is wonderful. Boy, it's the one person that we want to draw attention to. And so look at this attractive verse in Isaiah 63:14. It says Isaiah 63:14, a very precious verse here that talks about God's guiding us and leading us, and it says he will, as a cattle which go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. That God wants to lead you into rest to make for yourself, to make for himself a glorious name. To lead you into, I tell you, I don't know how to lead myself into rest. I know I'm a bad master for my